There are three things that are important to our Christian lives. And that is the Word, the name, and the blood. Every day of our lives, we're affected by the Word and by the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ every day. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That's a powerful statement. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen. But if we just grasp that, if we could just get a hold of that and put that into our spirit, into our heart and our mind. As he is, so are we in this world. We are Christ's representative on this planet Earth. Amen? One of the things that you deal with every day, I deal with every day, and that's spiritual warfare. How many has been involved with spiritual warfare? If you woke up this morning, you've been involved with it. Spiritual battles going on. So if Christ's warfare is in the heavenlies and is waged by using exalting of the Word of God, God controls his kingdom by his Word. He controls this earthly kingdom down here by his Word. Even though the devil is the prince of the air, he is controlled by the Word of God. Amen? Yes, he is. So there is this name and the blood. Then our warfare on this earth must be conducted by the same way. Our warfare, spiritual warfare, is conducted by the Word, by the name. Hallelujah. No one better to follow. I do not believe that we have to live in fear in these last days of the church age. No matter how difficult life may seem, what a struggle it may seem like, God has promised to provide for his own. Never leave you, never forsake you. He'll be there. Amen? Amen. He has answered us that we can live in victory if we keep our eyes on him. When you take your eyes off of the Lord, there is no hope. Always defeat. But when you put your eyes on him, what do you mean put your eyes on him? That means you look to him for everything that you have, every aspect, every element of your life, looking unto the Lord. He's the supplier of my needs. He's the way maker. And part of keeping our eyes upon him is keeping his ways and walking in his instructions. Now this is going to become important in this Bible study tonight. It's walking in his ways and keeping his instructions. And although the Bible, we are told to exalt the Word, we are encouraged to exalt the name, lift up the name. We also are encouraged to exalt the blood and to put confidence in the power that is invested in them. If you have no faith in the name, you'll get nothing from the name. If you don't have any confidence in the Word, then you'll have no results from the Word. If you don't believe in the power of the blood, there's nothing that's going to come back to you. We'll walk in victory if we do what the Lord says to do. Put our faith in the Word, put our faith in the name, and put our faith in the blood. Psalms 91, verse 1. My wife and I have sort of made this our theme in our home and our lives. Psalms 91, verse 1. And he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Why? Because it's the safest place to be. Don't ever pull yourself out from under the protecting care of the Lord. So when we're talking about spiritual warfare has almost become a nightmare. There are those many teachings that will try to teach you how to do spiritual warfare, on how we are to wage it. And the whole subject gets kind of confused unless you return back to the Scripture. Every time you run into a problem, The best place to go is to the Word of God. A lot of books out there on the shelves, a lot of books out there for sale, a lot of ideas, a lot of things, concepts out there, but the only place that has the truth is the Word of God. Amen? And so we look at that Word and rediscover that the God of our salvation, God never complicates anything. It is man who does the complicating. Amen? Amen? But what if? Stop it. But what if that goes wrong? Well, stop that. But we're always in that what if mode. What if? Stop it. With God, all things are possible. Now that you can continue on saying. All things are possible. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Not just on Monday, or not just Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but Tuesday and Thursday as well. Saturday and Sunday. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. But I don't feel good. Stop it. Stop throwing the roadblocks. Amen? Several years ago, I'm like a lot of people, find myself completely worn out from trying to fight the devil. Do you feel like sometimes you're just wore out from fighting the devil?
Yeah.
Every time you turn around, it's another fight, something else going on.
Yeah.
Amen. And you can learn many methods of spiritual warfare. But however, a lot of them don't work. And you get discouraged. You can rebuke until your rebuker is broke. Or worn out, one or the other.
Yeah.
Sometimes we rebuke the devil so much, I think my rebuker is worn out. Uh-huh. Yet still, not seem to be on the victorious side of the war. Why is that? Why is that? Why don't we let the Holy Ghost begin teaching us to study the Word? I've been on this Word business for the past few weeks, but it is essential. It is essential as a child of God. If we put our trust, let the Holy Ghost lead us in the Word and see how Jesus handled the devil. If you want to know how Jesus handled the devil, he handled it with the Word. How did he wage spiritual warfare? I discovered some interesting truths. Our Lord did not spend his time talking about the devil. He didn't. Or what he was doing. Instead, he simply dwelt in the presence of God. If you walk in the Spirit, amen, if you walk in the Spirit, what is that? Your mind on the Lord. If you get your mind on the world, you're going to think worldly things. You get your mind on the Spirit, you're going to think about spiritual things. Amen? The Bible says that we are protected from the attacks of the enemy as we abide in Christ's presence. Psalms 91, now when I read, clearly brings out, I think, this truth. I encourage you to read Psalms 91 and verse 1. Why? Because the safest place you can be is under the wings of the Almighty God. I also learned that Jesus walked in obedience to his Father. James chapter 4, verse number 7. It is usually quoted this way. Resist the devil and he will flee. Well, however, you need to read it correctly. I notice that it actually says, submit yourselves. I want you to bring that up on the screen. Bring up James 4 and 7. Would you do that, please? You can rebuke the devil all you want to. You can try your best and wear out your rebuker. But we have to submit ourselves. You need the whole thing, whole part of that scripture. Come on. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you don't submit yourself to God, the devil's not going to flee from you.
All right.
Paul, I know. This and I know. But who are you? That's the part we leave out. Come on. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Why is that important? Because when you submit yourself to God, you're wholly committed to His Word. Wholly committed to His name. Wholly committed to the blood. There's power in the blood. But if you're not submitted to God, that's not going to have a whole lot of power. Amen? You can force people to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and the next day they're gone. Because they never submitted themselves. We push them into the baptism. God doesn't tell us to push people into baptism. That's a personal, individual experience for their lives. If you have not fully repented of your sins, then baptism has no effect on your life. As a Christian, we have to submit ourselves. If I submit myself to God, that's wholly given to God, wholly believing in God's word, wholly believing in God's name, wholly believing in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, then I can say to the devil, devil, get thee behind me. Because he knows he's messing with you who is fully committed to God. He's not going to mess with you. The Bible gives that picture to us in the book of Acts. Sons of Sceva comes along. Well, we adjure you by Justin Landon, we'll rebuke you by Brother Merchant. That don't work. You got to have this for yourself. You got to have the word for yourself. You got to have the name for yourself. You got to have the blood for yourself. You got to be fully committed to Him. Amen? I'm in the army for the Lord. You can find the identifying patches on me. You can find this. Paul says, I bear the marks. We are empowered as we dwell in the presence of the Lord. One of the things is that, and one of the things that's difficult to do, and I'm glad if you do this, it's important for your walk with God and your spirituality, and that is quality time with God. It's one of the most important things we as believers can learn to do, is spend a little quality time with God. We're empowered as we obey Him through the Holy Ghost. I encourage you to learn about spiritual warfare because always remembering the methods without power flowing through you is empty shells. You got to have this faith inside of you, this commitment inside of you, this faith inside of you, the power of God flowing through in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So here's another powerful truth of the Holy Ghost can teach us about spiritual warfare concerning the love walk, to walk in love. Matthew 24 is a chapter of the Bible that teaches us about signs of the end times that we are to watch for. Realize that 24th chapter has a lot about the end time in it. And you've undoubtedly heard a lot of teaching about those various signs. I want you to put up there here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. Here's one of the things that happens in the end time. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When we cannot get along with one another, not saying that you don't, but when you're fussing, love covers a multitude of sins. except the person I don't like.
Right.
Except the person I can't get along with.
Come on, right there.
Shoot straight.
Come on. Ephesians 5 and 2, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So among all the signs of the end times, one of the greatest signs is the fact is that there's a lack of love going on.
Yeah.
Satan knows that walking in love empowers believers. Once again, sometimes we get convicted by the Holy Ghost. Love is a fruit. And if we're not careful, we'll fall in a trap like a lot of Christians can fall into. You can have right teaching, but you can have it in wrong order. You can desperately defeat the devil. But one thing that brought us to the cross of Calvary was for God so loved the world that he gave. Matthew 16 and 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I'll tell you one thing, there's a lot of hatred going on this earth. A lot of hatred being released on this earth. Even though you was ugly in sin and the world is ugly in sin, God still died on the cross of Calvary. I was counseling someone today and their problems, their situation. The bottom line is this. You've got to let the love of God come into your heart and into your life. Amen?
Amen.
Mark 3:27. But no one can go into a strong man's house and ransack his household, goods right and left, and seize them as plunder, unless he first binds the strong man, then indeed he may plunder his house. I like that translation. The devil will try to get us to a place where he can come in and plunder our house, plunder our lives. Binding and loosening is a spiritual principle. The teaching about binding and loosening is not wrong if it is taught accurately. But when we see the scriptures and we're taught about authority as a believer, we have authority if we are in Christ Jesus. And but we're in him and he's in us. I think what this verse is saying to us is that we have authority as believers to bring heaven's will to earth by acting as partnership with God. In other words, we've got to be sold in him, in his word. Come on. If you hate your brother,
there you go, right there.
How can you love God?
True.
How can you hate the one how can you love the one you haven't seen and hate the one you do see? The Word of God has so much power in it. The Word of God is light. Amen? There's nothing like the Word of God. I think you'll find, as I have, that if you do first things first, such as seeking God and walking in love, and obedience to the Word of God, you will not need to wage spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Darkness cannot overpower light. I'm going to say it again. Darkness cannot overpower light. We are to walk in the light.
Oh, yes.
Come on. Amen. And the enemy won't be able to see where you are in the light. Would you put up there 1 John 1:7? 1 John 1:7. Come on, church. Saturday, we ought to be light. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow. That's powerful. That's a principle. But if we walk in the light, we're light. As He is the light. We have fellowship one with another. What does light have to do with darkness? Walk in a dark room with light. And it lights it up. Amen? That's why He's trying to teach us, you are the light of the world. Come on. You're not supposed to have a dark, brooding spirit. There's nothing dark and brooding living in you if you have the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's look at the name. Glorious name. Philippians 2:10. That in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So using the name of Jesus and having a revelation about power in that name are two different things. Using the name of Jesus and having a revelation about that name and the power of that name is two different things. Even teaching about the power in Jesus' name is not enough. We all agree there's power in the name. We agree there's power in the name, authority in the name. But there must be a revelation about the power that is in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on, apostolics.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
You have to have a revelation of who He is. Of who He is. No one can bring revelation to himself. I cannot bring revelation to myself. You cannot bring revelation to yourself. Nobody in the world can bring revelation to themselves. It must come from God. It must come from the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, who is the revealer of all truth, going to lead and guide you into all truth. Come on, church. Releasing the power of the name of Jesus requires faith in the name. But you've got to have a revelation of the name. When all power in heaven and earth and beneath the earth is in that name, then you understand that and give a revelation of the awesomeness, the power, the mightiness of the name. Yeah. Then you can ask anything in His name. Without doubting, the name that is so powerful that when it is mentioned in faith, every knee shall bow. In the three realms, in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, starting there. And so what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surprising greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I like that. Who fills all in all. Paul said, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. It's bodily there. It's in him. And he's given him a name above all names. So you got the word that says, thus saith the word of God, and we put ourselves into that word. And then you've got the name. And oh God, thank you for the revelation of the power and authority of that name. Yeah. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer and the ninth hour. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When a certain man crippled from his birth was being carried along, who was laid each day at the gate of the temple, called Beautiful, so that he might beg for charitable gifts from those who entered the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them to give him a gift. And Peter directed his gaze intently at him, and so did John, and said, look at us. And the man paid attention to them, expecting that he was going to get something from them. Oh boy. Boy, these two guys look really well healed, and man, this is going to be a good day at the gate. Come on, get something. Wow. Yeah. Sometimes you come to God and you expect him to answer, he'll give you more than you thought you're going to get. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And Peter said, silver and gold. I don't have any. Can you imagine that man's countenance is dropping? Blah. But what I do have, man, church. Wow, what if we was a church that says, listen, tell you what I do have. I've got the Word of God. I can speak the Word of God. I've got a revelation of the name that has all power in heaven and earth. And beneath the earth, what I do have, I can say with a surety, I'm in it. I'm sold out to it. I believe it. I trust it. Such as we do have, that I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. When we pray for people, why not just say, be healed? All right. Did you get any healing quicker if I shake your head? No. Raise up both your arms?
No. All right.
If you got faith in the word, faith in the name, take the oil and anoint in Jesus' name, be healed. That's where the authority is at. Pray over them in the name of the Lord. What is his name? Jesus. Wow. Peter and John was walking along and saw a crippled man being carried. Verse 7 tells us that the man jumped to his feet, began leaping and about, totally healed. I do believe his early disciples obviously had a revelation concerning the power in the name of Jesus. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They used the name that had the power.
Yeah.
Apostolic Church, they used the name that had the power. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in and through no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by and in which we must be saved. Period. Period. No argument. No fussing. Mark 16:17 and 18. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name will they drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. Only if I'm going to whack it. The drinking a deadly thing. You see, this is a boring lesson. You know what's boring to you? Because you're not in it. If somebody said that I can be healed. Somebody here said that I can be delivered. Is it another Wednesday night Bible study on the same thing we've heard over and over again? How about the Word? Do I have it in my heart? Am I dwelling under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty God? That's where I'm hiding place. This is where I find myself to hide in. The Word of God reveals the salvation in the name of Jesus. We're baptized in that name, both in water and in spirit. We pray and expect our prayers to be heard and answered in that name. I expect you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that we sow seeds out here. The people will see the church. Church is salt. They'll be thirsty what I have, thirsty what I want. Something's going to make them want to be with God, not forcing them into baptism, not forcing them into church. But, oh, I want that. Oh, I see that. I see your faith. I see something's going on. I want that. I want that. But they don't want it if you don't want it. If you're not enthusiastic about it, they're not going to be enthusiastic about it. Let's pray about this right now. Amen. What would they think? Man, that's kind of weird. Yeah, but you see, those guys turned their cities upside down. They were sold out to the Word, sold out to the name. We're definitely in the end times. Definitely in the end times. And we must know how to win against the onslaught of evil. I do believe it's possible, but only through the Word and through the name and through the blood. I do believe we need to have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit works through the Word. The Spirit works through the name. And the Spirit works through the blood. Anytime they are exalted, the Spirit of God is present. Power of God is present. Use the name of Jesus. Use the power of attorney that He has given us. And the name of Jesus is one of the major weapons with which we defend ourselves and attacks. Amen. Let me just talk about the blood. The blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19 and 20. Would you put that up for me, please? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19 and 20. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." This is the blood. And one translation says that seals and ratifies the agreement or the covenant which God commanded me deliver to you. I've delivered this word to you, and now let's seal it with the blood. Let's go back to verse number 19. And he took blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. The book was the word that he spoke from, and the people were those of his listening. He made a covenant between the word that was spoken and the people that heard it. He sealed it with blood. Hebrews 19 here verifies this need in people's lives. Under the old covenant, when the book of the law was read, it was sprinkled with blood, and so were the people. And this was the way of sealing and ratifying the testament or covenant between God and Israel. The new covenant, where you and I live in today, the new covenant, always refers to a better way. The New Testament is a better way, a new living way. And under the new covenant, we are not to have sprinkle blood of animals on the Bible and ourselves before reading, but we do need an understanding about the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. The Bible is a book about blood. It speaks of blood from Genesis to the book of Revelation. In Genesis 4:10, we read Abel's blood crying out to God from the ground after Cain had murdered him. And in Revelation 19 and 13, we see Jesus dressed in the robe dried by dipping in blood. But when you begin to study it very carefully, study the word of God, finds blood everywhere. Why? Because according to Scripture, the life is in the blood. Leviticus 17 and 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Let's talk about this. Just as light is the only thing that can conquer, overcome darkness, so life is the only thing that can conquer, overcome death. When God created Adam, he formed him out of the dust of the ground and breathed his nostrils and the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being. Genesis 2 and 7. Adam had blood, but there was no life in him until God breathed his own life into him. Okay? The chemical substance that we call blood carries life. If a person loses his blood, he loses his life. No blood means no life, because the blood, again, carries the life. Life is a spiritual substance, but it must have a physical carrier. Blood carries the life of God, for it is His life. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus' birth was not a normal birth. He was born of a virgin. He had this young lady named Mary. She was going to be a mother. And God was going to be the father. The virgin birth of Jesus is virtually important because of the blood. In H.A. Maxwell White's book, The Power of the Blood, he says regarding the supernatural conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. I'm not going into details. But I want to bring this point up because the importance of the life is in the blood. At the moment of conception, and is therefore protected by the placenta from any flow of the mother's blood into the fetus. The Bible is explicit that the Holy Spirit, or God, God is Spirit, overshadowed Mary, and she conceived, that the Holy Ghost, or God Himself, was the divine agent who caused Jesus' conception in the womb of Mary. Thus, therefore, was not a normal conception, but a supernatural act of God in planting the life of His power and of His blood in the womb of Mary. What are you saying? The blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus Christ was not an ordinary blood. It was the blood of the Father.
Yes. Right.
And because how God had constructed birth is that in the placenta, the blood of the mother cannot come back in to that baby's body, if I understand it correctly. Could not contaminate what was divine. When we talk about the powers of the blood, because the power is in the Word of God, it's forever settled in heaven and on earth and beneath the earth, and the power of the name has the authority, and the blood has the purity of the gracious God we serve, who brought us into existence. It is a blood covenant, unlike any other covenant that's ever been made. That's why it's essential that you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because the blood is applied at the name in baptism. And nothing can contaminate it. You can walk away from God, you can sin, and come back to God and repent of your sins. Repent from walking away from Him, and the blood still has the power. Still has life in it. I've been asked the question, do I need to be rebaptized? No. Once you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you repent of your wrong. You repent of your backsliding. That blood is still powerful. Nothing has ever contaminated. It's pure blood of the divine. Now look that up if you want to look it up. Check it out if you want to check it out. Nothing can contaminate that blood. That's why when you plead the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not an exercise, you're pleading over your children. When you plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your problem situation, it's not just an exercise. Oh. It's a covenant. When you was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood was applied to you. He confirmed it, His word, with the blood between His word and you. It is a covenant. It's an everlasting covenant in your life. Everlasting covenant. Come home, backslider. Come home, wayward child that's walked away. Come home, come home. Come home, come home. When the prodigal son went home, he didn't cease being the son. When he was in the pig pen, he didn't cease to become the son. Those that are backslidden or have slidden back out into the world and are all messed up, they have never ceased being the son or the daughter. And the daddy's out in the middle of the highway saying, come home, come home. Is he out there? Is he coming home? Is my son coming home? Is my daughter coming home? We walk in love. We walk in love. And when he came home, they treated him like he never was gone. Like he never was gone. Let's have a party. Somebody order some pizza. Come on. Somebody get some shoes. Best robe. If you don't have the value of the family, you'll be just exactly like the one that was standing there as his brother.
All right. Yeah.
You got to have the word, church. You got to have the word. But you got to be absorbed. You got to have a relationship with that. You've got to have that name. Understand? Come on, you need a revelation of it. Well, I believe in the oneness. No, you're missing the point. You've got to have a revelation of the power and authority of who he is. I've given him a name. God said, I've given him a name above every name. And one day, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that name. That's a powerful, that's an incredible name. You got to have the word. We have to be absorbed with that word and take it in. And believe it. And trust it. Then you need a deep revelation of the authority of that name. So when you speak that name, when you say to that devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. That devil knows whether you have a faith in that, or it doesn't. I plead the blood. I plead, folks, apostolics, we are all caught up with those three elements of the word, of the name, and of blood. If we're ever going to have a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we as one body and one mind. Come on, one body and one mind. There's a love that goes out. There's a strength that goes out. There's an incorporation that goes out. You got to walk in that word. You got to walk in that word. As the blood type of the Son of God was separated and precious type, it is inconceivable that Mary could have supplied any other Adamic blood for the spotless Lamb of God. That's why we talk about a spotless blood, spotless Lamb. Because it could not be contaminated. Add spotless Lamb. Wow. Born of the Spirit of God. Come on. We can come together as an assembly and the people of God. That word, that we absorb the word, we're in that word. Not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, Paul said. And the blood. Blood bought, blood washed, blood redeemed, blood. Amen. I'm so glad that God provided that we have what we call today as a Bible. Amen. Hey, it's okay to mark your Bible up. right in it. So, should you do that? Well, there's so many, you see what happens, there's so many good things in the Word of God. You just, oh, that was good too. Oh, that was good. But you know where you discover that? It's when you get alone with God and take your Bible, whatever time it is, early in the morning or late evening time, and you sit down and get some time, and you just start reading the Bible, and things jump out at you. Oh, I've got to remember that. And you start underlining the Bible. Then you realize one day, it all is.